on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory. We want to speak this morning concerning the two bodies of eternity. Everybody here is going to spend somewhere in eternity. You're either going to spend it in the glory of the Lord, in the new heaven and new earth, or you're going to spend it in the lake of fire. One of two places. And these scriptures we have read this morning give us the details of how you are going to spend that, or what you're going to spend that eternity in. As we dwell in this earth, as we spend our time, our season upon this earth, we spend them in a body that God has given us. This old body of flesh. And this old body of flesh is sinful flesh. This old body of flesh is imperfect flesh. But for those of us who are saved by the grace of God, when we pass into eternity and the resurrection comes, we're going to have a glorified body that's going to be a perfect body that's going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see these scriptures also, we find that there's those who die in their sins are going to have a body of destruction, fitted for destruction. And it's going that it will spend eternity in the lake of fire in. And we want to elaborate on those here this morning. Everyone here will be in a resurrection. The Bible speaks of two resurrections, not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. We're not going to go back to Daniel and read that for you this morning. But if you go back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, you'll find that Daniel speaks of two resurrections. And what we're going to look in the book of John this morning in chapter 5, and we'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two resurrections. Two resurrections. In John in chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There's going to be two resurrections. The resurrection in other scriptures of the just, and also the resurrection of the unjust. So if you're here this morning and you hear my voice, you are going to be in one of these two resurrections. And looking there in John chapter 6 and verse 37, we find that the Lord speaks of the first resurrection, those who are going to be in the first resurrection. In verses 37 through 39, here he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." This is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection of the just. These are those of us who have repented of our sins and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We will be in the first resurrection. You say, who all is going to be in the first resurrection? Everyone from Adam on to whomever the last soul that will be saved upon this earth. Amen. They will be in this first resurrection. At this time, all we who have been saved by the grace of God, we await the sound of the trump. Now, not all mankind will suffer physical death.
That's right.
as those who die and we go and we have funerals for them and we lie them in the graves, but we will all be changed. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, we read these verses earlier in the week, but let's go ahead and read them again. I enjoy reading this. My heart begins to leap when I read these verses of Scripture, because I know that I will be in this resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 51, he says, "But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And if you look at what he says here, this, I'm going to show you a mystery. Because it's a mystery because it's beyond the comprehension of this old physical mind, how that one day, whether we're in the grave or if we're standing upon this earth, that this old body of sinful flesh is going to be changed into an incorruptible body. We can't imagine how that's going to take place other than by faith and what God has told us. We know that it's going to take place. But he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We shall be in this resurrection. Amen. When we are called home to glory, this body is going to be changed. On the other side, the second resurrection, as we look in Revelation chapter 20, these people shall be changed. They shall be changed. You know, many times if you read about this resurrection, you don't think so much of them receiving a body. But they're going to have a body. A body fitted for destruction. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, which were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." You know why we know that we're not going to be in this resurrection? Because the dead, we're not dead. We have a living soul within us that's been made righteous. But the dead, those who have died in their sins, they're going to be here. He says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is the second resurrection. And they will have a body. A body fitted for destruction. And as they stand there and they are, and the charges of their sin are brought against them, their life is brought before them, they're going to bow the knee, they're going to confess their sin, they're going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But it will not redeem their souls. and they'll have those bodies fitted for destruction and will be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. So at each resurrection, those in it will receive a new eternal body. Let's look again in our text in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 9. And look at verses 22 and 23 again. Romans in chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" First of all, we see those who are in that second resurrection will receive a body fitted for destruction. But we see some other things in this also. It says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" God is long suffering towards this world. He's long suffering towards this evil and sinful, ungodly world. What we see in this verse, if God was not, the lost, wicked world at this time would be consumed. But he's long suffering. But there's coming a time. There's coming a time when they will meet eternal destruction. But in verse 23 he says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory." We are vessels of mercy. We are the recipients of God's mercy. We're the recipients of his grace. And when we rise up in that first resurrection and we receive those bodies prepared unto glory, we're going to, I believe, for the first time in our life, fully begin to realize that we are the vessels of mercy. And we, as according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, when this resurrection takes place, we're going to be forever with the Lord. Amen. We're going to be forever with him. And as we think of this body that we dwell in, this physical body that we dwell in now, we know that our soul and our spirit have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this old physical body we dwell in now, it is not fit for the presence of God. Because this old body is still sinful flesh. And this body could not stand to be in the presence of God. Recall when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God came down and spoke to him, he had to wear a veil. And he wore that veil when he come back down because the glory of God shone off his face. But you remember, recall that Moses asked if he could see God's face. And God told him that no man could see the face of God and live. Moses never did see God face to face. He was in the presence of God's glory. And just being in the presence of God's glory shone upon his face, and that he had to wear that veil because Israel, when they looked upon him, could not stand to see the brightness. But as we, this old body, it could not stand to be in the presence of God. Also, as we think of the present sinful flesh of the ungodly, it couldn't exist in the lake of fire. If you took just an old human body that here and cast it in the lake of fire, it would be consumed. But They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, in God's preparing a body fitted for destruction for them, that they will be able to endure the sufferings of the lake of fire. They'll always suffer and never be consumed. We know that there are two separate places of abode in eternity. We know this from the scriptures. We know it from the testimony of the prophets. We know it from the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he spoke more of hell than he did of glory. And Jesus has said to us who are saved in John 14, verses 1 through 3, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And we know that place that he's preparing for his bride is the New Jerusalem. He's preparing that place. He has also said there was a place of destruction for everyone he did not know in this world. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 to start with. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Broad is the way. Wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." There's a broad way that leads to destruction. Many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Cast out devils." You know what? He does not say that they didn't do that. But he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Where are those workers of iniquity going to go? To the lake of fire. From separated forever from the presence of Almighty God. You who are here lost in your sins, this is as close to glory as you're ever going to get, this old earth. We who are saved by the grace of God, this earth is as close to the lake of fire as we're ever going to get. We can thank Almighty God for that. Amen. These bodies of eternity are bodies that are prepared by God. You know, if it was left up to us to prepare it, we'd make a mess out of it. Because we're imperfect. You can take the most perfect design by man and you'll find a flaw in it. But there will be no flaws in these bodies. There'll be no flaws in the bodies fitted for glory, nor will there be any flaws in those bodies fitted for destruction. The bodies, as we see here, again, in our text verse, First of all, again, let's look at verse 21. He says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Does not God have this power? Yes, he does. He says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" This body of dishonor, it's fitted for destruction. In other words, as we look at what's taking place, or what's going to be in the lake of fire, it's going to be a place of fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. Just fire and brimstone, you know, would consume a human body. But as we see the fire, this body fitted for destruction, it's going to burn forever, but never be consumed. It's going to suffer the torments of hell. And that part of the torments of hell is going to be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. You think you have enemies here. It's nothing compared to what's going to be in the lake of fire. I've had it said to me sometimes, just leave me alone. I don't want anything with that religion stuff. I'm going to go to hell and be with my friends. You will not have any friends in the lake of fire. There will be no friendships. If you want to further investigate that, read the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah when it speaks of the destruction of Satan. They're going to laugh at him. And they're not only going to laugh at him, they're going to laugh at one another. I believe that's part of the wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be a place of outer darkness. And if you've ever been in any underground caverns, caves, every one that I've ever been in, when you've taken a tour, they've snapped off the lights. And every one that I've been in, they'll say, put your hand in front of your face. You can't see your hand at the end of your nose. And it'll also tell you that if you're in that darkness for X amount of time, and it's a very short time, you'd be totally blind. No sight. But you'll have feeling. You'll suffer. And you're going to suffer in a body that's prepared by God or fitted for destruction. God has in store for these bodies to suffer and not be consumed. God calls them vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. You know what a vessel is? A vessel is a container that you can fill up. In this case, a vessel of wrath is one that will be filled with the wrath of God and never consumed. And you know, as these vessels of wrath begin to suffer in the lake of fire, you know, they're going to go through the great white throne. They're going to confess their sins. They're going to bow the knee to God and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of the Father. But as soon as they hit that fire, they're going to begin to curse God. They're going to blame God. Here they were, and they did exactly what he said. They acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Savior. They acknowledged him as Lord to the glory of God. And they're getting cast in the lake of fire. And as soon as they get there, they're going to continue to curse God. Because we did what you told us to, but here we are. This life, this world, is the place to get your life right. Amen. With the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you repent and trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you shall have eternal life. You wait till eternity, it's too late. It's too late. A body fitted for destruction, one that will suffer in the flames of hell and never be consumed. Let's look further at that in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. And as the children of God, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the fact that God will never pour out His wrath on us, neither in this world or in that to come. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." In other words, this world, what he's saying, this evil, ungodly world that persecutes the children of God at this time, they're going to pay for that in eternity. They may not suffer anything in this world. Sometimes they do, but they're suffering for the way in which they persecute the children of God will be brought to pass in the lake of fire. He says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, which he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to admire in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of the faith with power, that the saint, at the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians that he has saved us from the wrath to come. We are not going to suffer any wrath that God pours out on this world. Oh, we do endure some wrath at this time when hurricanes and tornadoes and other violent storms come through. We may suffer some from the effects of those. But that's nothing compared to the wrath that awaits those who are fitted for destruction. That's nothing. The vessels of mercy. We who are saved by the grace of God, we will receive a body, as he says here, a four prepared unto glory. I believe God has those bodies ready for us now. For as we know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when it says that trump sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, he says that they're going to meet their bodies in the air. That soul and that spirit, that old dirt that's in the grave, it's going to be reunited with the soul and spirit coming from heaven, and there's going to be a body prepared for them. We which are alive and remain, we've already read 1 Corinthians 15, that we shall be changed. caught up and will have received a body of mercy, a vessel of mercy. And from Ephesians chapter 2, we ain't going to take the time to read it, but we know that by birth in this world, by physical birth, we are no different than the vessels of wrath that abide upon this earth at this time. Whereas as the children of disobedience, we were the captives of Satan. We did exactly what he decreed for us to do. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, he has saved us. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. He also tells us that he saved us unto good works. Amen. Works that he has designed for us to do. By birth, there's not one of us here who are saved that were worthy of anything other than a body fitted for destruction. But God, who is rich in mercy, quickened us through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not yet appear what these vessels of mercy shall be like in glory. But it will be like unto the risen body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look in 1 John chapter 3. And I don't believe, so I know some do, I hope if you do, forgive me, I don't believe that. But I don't believe we're all going to look like Jesus Christ when we get there. I believe we're all going to have our own identity. For the Lord says we shall sit down and talk with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. We will know David. We will know Moses. And you know what thrills my mind is there's multitudes of saints that have lived through the periods of the history of this world whose names have never been recorded. And I'm going to know them. And they're going to know me. But first of all, we're going to know Jesus Christ. He says in verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. We don't know what we're going to appear as, but we know that we're going to be like him. And we're going to know one another. And we're going to serve him with one another. And we're going to serve him with a perfect body that has perfect ability to take in what he teaches us and to process it, and he won't have to tell us twice. You know how many times do we have to process what the Bible says? Continuously. And it's, you know, there's things that we've learned in years past, you say, I'll never forget that. But then you haven't read it or studied it over a period of time. And when you go back and you study it, it's all like it's all brand new again. Won't be there. We'll have perfect bodies, vessels of mercy, afore prepared for us. We'll have a body prepared aforetime for glory. Again, because these old present sinful bodies could not stand to be in glory. But the perfect, glorified, sinless body prepared by God will be able to exist in the land of glory, because God has changed it And the deal was sealed on Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins and became sin for us and died and was buried and rose again. But you know when the deal was really sealed? When God decreed it before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why in Romans chapter 8, he says, in verse 28 through 30, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." When we're speaking of glorification here, we're talking about when these vessels of mercy will receive that vessel of mercy afore prepared by God. What type of eternal body would you receive if you were to depart this world today? Do you know where you would be? Hell is a reality. Glory is a reality. To die in your sins is to begin to suffer, and you will have a spot in the second resurrection. Let's look in the book of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 16. Luke in chapter 16. This is better known as the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. These two men. Lazarus, of course, was the poor beggar who laid at the rich man's gate begging crumbs from his table. The dogs coming by and licking his sores. And again, it isn't recorded, but we can imagine in our minds. This rich man who fared sumptuously, going out his gate every day and sneering at Lazarus. Well, here's that beggar again. "Looking for the crumbs that come from my table." Look at that. The dogs licking his sores. Well, we find in verse 22 and 23, both of these men had a different destination when they departed this world. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now hell, at this time, well, there were two different words that referred to it. This is talking about Hades here. Sometimes hell just had reference to the grave or the holding place for souls. They were divided. Paradise and Hades. The beggar, when he died, he went to paradise. He was in Abraham's bosom, and he was comforted. And the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was in torments. Torment will begin when one departs from this world in their sins. And this rich man begged Lazarus to come, or Abraham for Lazarus to come and just put his tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue, because he was tormented in that flame. Abraham said, "You know, there's a gulf fixed between us. There's a gulf." He says, "No one from here can go there, and no one from there can come here." In other words, when you depart from this world, it's over. It's done. What you are when you die is what you are in eternity. Amen. If you die in your sins, you're headed for a body fitted for destruction. If you die in Christ, you will be in that first resurrection. You'll receive a body afore prepared unto glory. A vessel of mercy. There's no in between. And the only way that you can escape a body fitted for destruction is to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll read one last verse of Scripture over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 6 that you might give that you need to give consideration to here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." And who's the Him? God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is the rewarder, not man. There's nothing that you can do in this world, nothing that you can perform. You can't be baptized for salvation. You can't live a perfect life for salvation. You cannot do anything in your flesh that will merit eternal life. You have to come by faith, believing that you are the offender. God is the offended, and He has the solution. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. His shed blood for the payment of your sins. And His burial. 3 days and three nights in the earth. And His resurrection that guarantees us a place in the first resurrection. Faith in anything else is to find yourself with a body fitted for destruction.